Okay. Evening, everyone. Just want to thank everyone for the opportunity to be able to share out of God's Word tonight. I can't see you guys, so I'll move a little back. Let's just pray together. Lord, we come before you tonight, Lord, knowing that our lives are firmly held in your hand, knowing that you have called us, that you've set us free, that you have placed our feet upon our solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that, it wouldn't be about me or about us, but it would all be about you, Jesus, about your glory, about your purposes. Jesus, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word. And may the words I speak tonight not be my own, but will be yours, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that you would be glorified, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take your rightful place in this place tonight. We glorify you. We lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I should say tonight I'm sharing on the doctrine of stewardship. And when I was preparing, there's quite a lot of information about this, but I really specifically felt to keep it simple tonight. In your own time, you can go read through quite a lot of information about this doctrine. But as I say, I'm just going to keep it simple. Now, for me to properly explain the biblical doctrine of stewardship, I believe it to be of utter importance to start at the beginning, this meeting with God. So my first heading is God gave. Giving all started with God. In Genesis 1 verse 1, it explains that God created the heavens and the earth. And as the creator, God has the absolute right of ownership over all things. God is the owner. Psalm 24 verse 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Sorry, tonight I'm going to share quite a lot of verses and scripture because I feel that's really important. So just write all of these down. And then secondly, in Haggai 2 verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." And 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Secondly, Jesus gave. God came into history as the man Jesus Christ. He left the riches and the glory of his heavenly kingdom for poverty and humility. He stewarded all that God had entrusted to him and was always busy with his Father's business. Jesus is the most generous giver and the most faithful steward ever by dying on the cross, taking our sin and giving us his righteousness. He took our death and gave us eternal life. There are two Greek words that make up the meaning of stewardship in the New Testament. The first one is epitropos, which means manager or foreman. And the second one, which is probably used a bit more, is oikonomos, which means steward, manager, administrator, and refers to the law and management of household affairs. This implies that we are the managers or administrators of all that God has entrusted us with. We are not the owners. And in the book, The Treasure Principle, Randy Alcorn writes this: "If God was the owner and I was the manager, I needed to adopt a steward's mentality towards the assets he had entrusted, not given, to me. A steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It is his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets, then carry out his will." So how are we supposed to do this? The amazing thing is that God actually enables us by his grace. And he leads us by his Holy Spirit, whom gives us wisdom and power to accomplish all God's purposes. This is a privileged, an adventurous and responsible calling, which God will keep us accountable on. In 1 Peter 4 verse 10 it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what are we to steward? Well, firstly tonight I'd like to start with time. The thing we always seem to run out of. What do we invest most of our time into? God has called us to be diligent with our time, investing it into the things that are important to Him, which means that we are to balance our work and our rest, which is our Sabbath, so that we can steward our time well. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now for me this means whatever we are doing, whether you're working, whether you're being a mom, whether you're at school, whatever you're busy with, that we are to walk wisely, being aware of our world's circumstances and where it will end, so that we use our time effectively by sharing the gospel with others. Because that's ultimately what it's about. God wants to redeem mankind. Secondly, we are to use our time wisely by spending time with God in prayer, in His Word, so that we are growing in faith and a relationship with Him. After all, how on earth are we ever supposed to know what God wants us to do if we're not at His feet listening to Him and obeying what He's saying? Scripture urges us to feed our spirit and not our flesh. And that which we spend most time investing in will win. Secondly, we are to steward our talents. Now, you get talents and then you get spiritual giftings. But both fall under this category for tonight. Both talents and spiritual gifts are from God. Both have been given to be used for His glory and not for our purposes or fame. Although He loves and we enjoy them, that's why He gives it to us. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says that we are to use our spiritual gifts to benefit others and not ourselves. So what are talents? Every person, whether you're a believer or a Christian or not, has been given talents or natural talents at birth. Some have the ability to sing, which is not one for me. Some have the ability to do art, again, not me. Some are good at sport, which I enjoy. Some people are extremely clever. And sometimes these talents are aided by the type of environment we grow up. It can actually be nurtured. But they just serve the common good of mankind. Spiritual gifts, however, are given to believers by the Holy Spirit when they come to repentance or salvation. They may be enhancements of our natural talents or completely new supernatural endowments. God determines which gift or gifts we do and do not receive. So rather than complaining about what we did not receive or comparing what we did with what others did receive, we should rejoice in what God has given us in His love and His wisdom. Now you can go read more about these spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 to 11 and Romans 12 verse 3 to 8, as I don't have the time to go into detail about them tonight. But the importance of all of this is that talents are given for the advancement of the gospel and allows a believer to live a passionate life of humble service as an act of worship to Jesus. Thirdly, we are to steward our treasures. Now, this is sometimes one of the most difficult ones. Treasures refer to our money and our possessions. In Scripture, the issue is not if we are rich or poor, but whether we are righteous or unrighteous stewards in how we obtain or manage our treasures. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. As previously mentioned, God is the creator and owner of everything, and this includes our money. He has given us the ability to create wealth. So when God gives, it's not to raise our standard of living, but it's to raise our standard of giving. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 that God loves a cheerful giver. It cannot be overstated enough that when we give to God and His purposes, we are not deciding how much of our wealth we are giving, but we are rather deciding how much of God's wealth we are keeping for our own purposes. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Now the Bible teaches us that there are some areas in which we are to invest our money in. And I've listed five, and they're not in order of importance at all. And I'm just going to read the scriptures that are fitting to them. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that tonight. I know Malcolm has done quite a lot of preaching on giving, so you're welcome to go and look at that. First of all, we're in to give to our tithing, and this is used for ministry. Malachi 3 verse 8 to 10 reads, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have you robbed? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." 1 Corinthians 9 verse 13 to 14, Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar?" And then finally, under tithes, Jesus endorsed it. Matthew 23 verse 23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You ought to have done this without leaving the others undone." Secondly, we are to give into offering. This is used for projects, events, or payments. And this is quite a lengthy scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15, but I've only put out a part of it, which I'm going to read, so if you can please just try and keep with me. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver and is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For this administration of service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God." Now, there's quite a lot that can be said through this. When I actually looked up scriptures on offerings, because I said to Sean, wow, there's so many. One thing I picked up in the book of Acts, and that really stirs my heart, is that no one ever had need. You know, it blows my mind to think that people literally sold their possessions when people had need. And in preparing this, I really felt God stir me, you know. There's so much more. So much more And he wants to use us. So, it's really amazing. The third area is in almsgiving. For God told us to look after the poor and needy, which includes widows and orphans. Proverbs 19, verse 17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." James 1, verse 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And friends, even though we live in a first world country, there are plenty of needy people. There are so many needy people. Yesterday, my heart actually broke because there's this one specific guy who's positioned outside this wine house or something on Leith Walk, and I always see him there. And yesterday I was actually walking with my grandparents past him, and I mean, the smell was terrible, but my heart broke. And in that moment, I felt, and I mean, my grandparents didn't really want to come close to him, but in that moment, I really felt God said to me, he wants his church to look after those people, because that's what he's called us to do. He wants our hearts to break, because that person, he created that person for a reason. And I urge you that when you walk the streets of the city, be reminded of that. Be reminded to stretch out your hand, buy him a coffee, or just speak to him. Can you imagine when last someone spoke to him? You know, it's not always about money. It's about love. And Jesus wanting to use you to stretch out your hand to that person. Yeah, it says in Proverbs 14, verse 21, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." And I can promise you that you would be so much more happier in that moment because you know that God used you. The fourth area is in apostolic giving. Apostolic means for going, sending. So God wants to use us to help to send other people to nations or to bless those who come and bless us. So that's given to translocal ministry. There are quite a few scriptures that speak about this, but for the sake of time, I'm only going to quote one, which is in Philippians 4, verse 14 to 16. And Paul writes, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." It's just amazing to think that. You know, even though you sometimes can't always go to the nations, you can help others go. And I mean, we, Sean and I, can confess, you know, testify of that, how many times we've trusted God to be able to go to the nations. And like literally the day before we have to leave and there's no money in the bank account, God provides. And we can be his hands and feet and help sending others to advance the gospel. You're welcome to go read a few more scriptures on apostolic giving. One being in Acts 11, verse 27 to 30. One being in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9. And then a scripture just before the one I read is in Philippians 4, verse 10 to 11, which just builds on that. In the fifth area we are supposed to give in, which I think is really, really important as well, is in parental or family responsibilities. For this is to provide for your families, and it is pleasing to God. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of this household, of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." It's kind of hard. Sure. Proverbs 13 verse 22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." How amazing is that? We get to be able to do that. In closing tonight, and I've kept it quite brief, what I really felt about sharing in this doctrine of stewardship is not necessarily everything required, but at the heart of this lies worship. So for me, stewardship equals worship. I believe stewardship comes down to an attitude of our hearts, as it reflects our worship and defines or reflects what's in our hearts. What we worship will be evidence in what we are invest our lives in. For Matthew 6 verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, Jesus taught so much, do not live for this world. Do not live for the materialism or the consumerism. Store up your treasures in heaven, because that's where it counts. Fix your eyes to heaven, because that's what actually matters. Stewardship includes our time, talents, and treasures, but it's not all. Stewardship is our obedient witness to God's sovereignty. It is what motivates a follower of Christ to move into action. Whether I'm serving, giving, sleeping, working, having fun, whatever you're doing, because we are supposed to have fun. Whatever we are doing, we are to be bearers of His light, reflecting His glory. Stewardship is the joyful, sacrificial giving of ourselves to God's plans and acknowledges that He has full control. I believe God has and is busy with His story. A story of redemption. A story of reconciling people who He created for Himself to Himself. Friends, He is God. He has saved you. He has saved me. He has set us free. He has given us all we need for life and godliness. He has paid the highest price. He has called and chosen us. So undeserving, we're sinful, we're blasphemous, but we're saved by the blood of Christ and saved by His grace. Why? To play our supporting part in His story. Stewardship is not God taking something from us. Rather, it is us using all He has given and entrusted to play our part in His redemption story. Stewardship defines our purpose in this world as entrusted and assigned to us by the most generous giver, God. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a joy. What a great responsibility. What an adventure, man. My life used to be boring before this. This is an adventure with God. What an awesome, majestic, holy, magnificent God. So I ask you tonight, I urge you, I plead with you, will you choose to play your role? Will you be a faithful steward of your time, your talents, your treasures, your whole life? Will you choose not to live for the here and now? Will you choose to invest your life for the good of others? Will you choose to give all of yourself for our King and His kingdom? Thanks.